small amount of the tajalli of the arsh, the throne of Allah.
It was told drop. Not drop on Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam would have been then destroyed. But drop on that spot near where he is standing, which Allah said, look at that mountain. I will show you who I am. If the mountain can hold my power, then you will see me. So it was not the beauty of Allah that fell, it was the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that made one spark of its power and might. The throne of Allah. And a small amount which Ka'b Ahbar explains. And as it hit, which Quran says, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. And when Allah put His tajalli on the mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى, it just broke into pieces. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Nabi Musa alayhi salam fell down unconscious. Certain narrations have shown his soul actually came out. Angels were told to hold his body to manage. And after the entire thing happened, then the soul was returned. As the soul was returned, the first word Musa alayhi salam, he said, Subhanaka Wallah, you are pure. Meaning, I will never ever ask to do such a thing again. You are pure. How can your beauty be ever asked to be shown in this world, your own zat? Tawbatu ilayka, O Allah, I have made tawbah. I submit, O Allah, never again. But now look at the kamal of Hazrat Qari Sahib's mind. That the entire incident is in front of us. But if I have to ask you what tajalli was falling at that time, the most we will say is a tajalli, a waterfall of the anger of Allah. But with what mind he looked at it? He said that the tajalli that fell on Makkah Mukarrama, the house of Allah, was jamal, beauty. And the tajalli on Aqsa was jalal, power. The tajalli that fell on the land of Tur Gaza was a tajalli of defense. What is known as dafa. Because Musa alayhi salam wished to come close to Allah. The angels were sent to push him away. That don't ever think of walking towards this route ever again in your life. This is something that you can't ask for in this world. Don't come near you. The angels were not told to attack him. They were all told to push him away. Move, move. Which he says, one quality of Allah is al-dafi' al-mani', that zat which pushes away. A tajalli of defense. And he says, how amazing it has been that throughout history, whoever will read the books of war will understand that whichever people were born in this area around Mount Tur, they were always the most severest in defending their land. And then he explains in the time of, he gives different examples. One easy example for us to understand. The two kitabs are famous in the English language, Futuhu Sham and Futuhu Misr. The conquest of what is known as Sham and the conquest of Egypt. Any person who reads the conquest of Sham, he will read it and how the Sahaba spread. And how they destroyed the Roman Empire, which was a mighty empire. But when you look how many Sahaba radiallahu anhu passed away, you won't find much. But when they lent to the land of Egypt, which was not a mighty superpower of the world, but when you will read that waqiyas in that book, you will see how many Sahaba, great, great Sahaba gave their lives until finally that land gave up. He says the people of that land throughout history, whenever the Muslims needed attacking armies, the army would be sent from the land of Sham. But whenever the enemy would attack, it would be found that the soldiers of this area, they would always be the one to drive out the enemy. And how amazing it is at the present moment where the whole world has given in to the firepower of America and Britain, and Israel is the most strongest. And the whole land of Sham has given in, surrendered. But one small land, Gaza, stands out. They have no weapons, they have no might. They have spaceships coming over, bombers coming over. They have things which are unmanned, they have things which are manned. They have patrollers going into. Every day they are being bombed, bombed, bombed. But what has been given in those people that they are the defense for the world of Islam? That small group there is every time when the enemy attacks pushing them out. How did they get that? Hazrat Qari Sahib, that time when he wrote the book, said this is the land that will protect the entire world. And he wrote they will protect the world from what? He explained if the land of Gaza is destroyed and the enemy managed to take over it, then there will be nothing stopping them from the land of Aqsa. But as long as they cannot break through Gaza, although Gaza and Aqsa are not next to each other, they are far different, far away. As I told you, this is on Egypt's side. This is in the land of Sham. People who will go to Masjid Al-Aqsa will not even see Gaza. He explained, as long as they don't break through here, they will not get the seat of power. As long as they will not get the seat of power, they will not get complete rule in the world. The eye will not come on Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, because that's not the land of rule. The eye will be on Masjid Al-Aqsa and on the land of Gaza. How amazing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told his ummah something else. Where Dajjal told the people he met two places I will never go to. Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his ummah two other places Dajjal will never manage to take over. Which Imam Ahmad has mentioned in his Musnad, which ulama have mentioned with sound sanads, meaning couple of ahadith, and each one is called sahih, sahih, sahih. Two other places, the lands of Tajalli. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aqsa, Dajjal will never manage to get. And he said, Mount Tur, Dajjal will never manage to get. Gaza. The power of that place, inshallah, as I understand, that the present enemies which are attacking, Jewish enemies, are nothing but the, what is mentioned in the hadith, Dajjal himself. The power of Dajjal, army of Dajjal. And how I understand the hadith to mean that, inshallah, till the ending, you will find Gaza will carry on pushing them out. No matter what attacks they will make, somehow or the other will push them out. Forget that Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the time of Isa alayhi salam when he will come down. And the Ya'juj, Ma'juj will spread out in the world. And Nabi Isa alayhi salam will tell the Muslims, all of you will go to your forts because we can't fight this force anymore. This force is too strong. Then Nabi Isa alayhi salam, where will he take the Muslims? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Isa alayhi salam will take the Muslims back to Mount Tur. Because a place to defend is the mountain of Mount Tur. What a tajalli of defense fell and what became Mount Tur. Till the time of Ya'juj, Ma'juj, it will remain a land of defense. Pushing out the enemy, pushing out the enemy. Hazrat Qari Sahib explained three tajalliyat. The bayan started at about 10 to, inshallah, I'll speak for another 10 minutes. Inshallah, we'll bring it to an end. Hazrat Qari Sahib spoke about three tajalliyats. After the three tajalliyats, because his eye was on Wattini, Wazzaytun, Waturi Sinin, Wahadha al-Baladil Amin. But obviously there is a fourth tajalli which is clear. For whichever reason he did not make mention, or maybe at the end of his book he did make mention, I have not yet reached there. But there is a fourth tajalli of Allah Paak that fell. Makkah, Mukarramah, Kaaba's tajalli was from the beginning of time till the ending of time. And because it was 40 years before Aqsa's tajalli, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the status of the house of Allah is such that if you perform your salah there, Allah will give you the reward of 100,000 salahs. But when it came 40 years later to Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is also getting tajalli, he explained if you perform your salah in Masjid Al-Aqsa, Allah will give you 1,000 salah. Lot also, but it will never equal to Makkah Mukarramah. Because 40 years difference of tajalliyat. Then the tajalli of Gaza, which we explained, was only for a short time. It wasn't forever. But that short time had such an effect. But thereafter, one more tajalli was going to open in the world. And this tajalli was going to be a unique tajalli for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How we understand this tajalli? We will see wherever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned two masjids. The Kaaba, meaning he calls it Masjidul Haram. And Aqsa, which is called Masjidul Aqsa. Then always in between he will mention my masjid. Masjid of Medina Munawwara. He says if you perform salah in Makkah Mukarramah, the reward is so much. He says then if you perform salah in my masjid. And then if you perform salah in Aqsa. When he explained Dajjal will never go, he explained Makkah Mukarramah. He explained Aqsa. He explained Gaza. He said my masjid also Dajjal will never enter. When he explained if you're ever going to make a safar, a very lengthy safar, difficult safar, he said, make a safar for salah to Makkah Mukarramah, to my masjid, to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Wherever the two were mentioned, he put his masjid in between also. But the question comes that on which place of his masjid did Allah's tajalli start falling and what type of tajalli? And according to that tajalli, what effects did it create on the people around? So when I went there, I was looking that where did the tajalli of Allah fall? In Masjid Nabawi. And my mind was most likely on what is known as the garden from the gardens of Jannah, where everyone is fighting. But when I went there, there was something else that was pulling me, which was not that garden. Which we all know when we go to Masjid Nabawi, The garden is in the back of our mind, but what's in the front of our mind? To stand in front of the Rasul of Allah. So it came in my mind that the tajalli which fell on Makkah Mukarramah was a tajalli which fell on a thing. And it had to be so strong to hold it, it was the Hajar-e-Aswad and the Rukn-e-Yamani of the Jannah. The tajalli which fell on Masjid-e-Aqsa was a rock which was sent from Jannah on which the dome of the rock is built. Strong. But it came in my mind that the tajalli of Allah, if it is falling on the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this heart is not a heart of Jannah. How is it that a man's heart can hold it? And while there, then Allah tabaraka ta'ala opened this up, which I am now mentioning. And inshallah, it will take about 10 minutes. Immediately the thought came to my mind that before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken for Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam came down. And they cut open his chest. They took out his heart. They brought with them plates from Jannah filled with Iman and wisdom. They washed that heart. After that, the body of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became different from our bodies. In that night, he was able to travel at unique speed from one land to another land. After that, he was able to travel where mortal people like us can never travel. He was taken into Jannah. He was taken into Jahannam, which man's eyes can never see. Jannah is too huge, too great. Jahannam is too scary. But his body managed. He was shown things which man will never be shown, and the heart was managing. Certain historians mention the heart was shown so powerful on that night that a certain time came when Jibreel alayhi salam himself said, "O Allah's messenger, that now you will go forward ahead. This is my last point. That if I have to come forward also, I will be burnt with that tajalli which will fall." The power of that heart on that night became such. When Nabi Musa alayhi salam was now blessed with kalam directly, without Jibreel alayhi salam, on that night we hear in the Quran and in the ahadith that Allah tabaraka ta'ala spoke directly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was no Jibreel alayhi salam in between. That the tajalli of kalam which Musa alayhi salam got fell, the heart held it. فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أُوحَى. Allah sent to his servant what he sent. What an effect it had in his ummah when he came down. Sahaba radiallahu anhu sat around him, they became the best reciters of Quran in the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Aisha radiallahu anha, "You late, where are you coming from?" She said, "I was standing and listening to the Quran of someone, I was amazed, so beautiful." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he heard, he said, "I thank Allah that in my ummah he has made people read Quran so beautifully." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam listened to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu's voice. He said, "You have been given a flute from the flutes of Dawood alayhi salam. Your voice is so beautiful." It was what was coming out of his heart was affecting his sahaba. He said, "Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, read Quran." He said, "How can I read Quran? It was revealed on you." He said, "Read." He said, "I began reading." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started crying. Sahaba radiallahu anhu's tongues were then affected with that waterfall which was now coming. The tajalli of kalam hit his heart and it was now going. And until today, the ummah, when they get beautiful tongues to recite Quran, then it is my understanding that it is coming from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spreading in his ummah. A tajalli of ilm was going to hit Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he became the greatest man of knowledge in the entire world. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I was blessed with the knowledge of the beginning and the ending." And he explained it also in a manner of tajalli. Where he explained, a certain time came where Allah asked me, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the angels discussing? What are the angels discussing? Where will he know what the angels are discussing?" I said, "Oh Allah, I do not know." He says, "Allah tabarak ta'ala, please." And he mentioned in the hadith like his palm, which is known in the mind, in the zat of Allah tabarak ta'ala, however it is. But to give us an understanding of what it was, the palm of Allah, he says, was placed between my chest, on my bosom. And I felt a cool sensation going through my body, which opened up for me the knowledge of the heavens and the earth. And I understood everything which was happening. And thereafter Allah asked, "What are the angels discussing?" And I said, "Oh Allah, they are discussing this. And they are discussing this. They are discussing what takes a man up. They are discussing what gives a man extra reward." What the tajalli of knowledge that was. From the time when Iqra started, till the last verse of Quran, as it was coming, the tajalliyat of knowledge was falling. Because of which every sahabi which sat around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for many years I would think, that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was a young boy. He did not hear so much from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam like how he propagated to the ummah. He became the ocean of tafsir, but everything he never get. People would ask him amazing, amazing questions and he would give the answers. And I used to wonder, where did he get that knowledge? And when it came that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at him and he said, "Oh Allah, bless him with knowledge." And I understood that was that knock from the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam into Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. That as he grew up, he became the alim of the entire world. Which a person says, whichever question I saw someone mentioning to Abdullah bin Abbas, he gave the answer. He says his knowledge was such that he had a day set only for tafsir of Quran. And the next day only for hadith. And the next day only for the jihads of Sahaba. And the next day only for Arabic poetry. One day, in during that day, nothing else would be asked. And whatever they asked him, he gave the answer. I used to always wonder, where did he get that knowledge? How did Sahaba get the knowledge they could spread to the world? What was knowledge? Did they learn everything directly? Then I understood there was tajalli from the heart of knowledge to the heart. And any person today who is able to draw from that also, then our knowledge which comes, which our ustaz always explain, knowledge is heart to heart. As it went from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart into the Sahaba, Sahaba took it to Tabi'in, 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 Tabi'in. That knowledge, that tajalli of Allah's ilm, which came on his heart, started spreading in the world. But there are many people in the world present today also, Mubarak, that where one is you draw through that entire sanad, up till today there are certain people who can hook onto the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they can draw knowledge from there which they haven't got from anyone. Ask many people who became mujaddids of the world, that where did you get this thought from? And he will say, I went to Medina Munawwara. I spent a couple of days there, I was in Muraqabah, thinking, making dua, and suddenly a thought came in my mind. And that thought then created revolution in the world. How did that thought come? There was a connection between heart to heart. Knowledge was being given. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will come to my masjid for knowledge, Allah will give him this. So the tajalli of ilm came, the tajalli of awe came. Where Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, no matter how kind he was, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the awe that was above him, it was something that would make us many times scared to approach him. Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu said, I accepted Islam. I was so close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever there was a problem, he said, where's Abdullah bin Amr? Call him here. And he would ask me first before making a decision. When someone asked him to describe the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I never had the courage to look at his face directly. There was too much of awe. And that awe also spread on his companions. It spread in such a manner like a man of Umar radiallahu anhu was created. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, me, my enemy will fear me a month's journey away. Nusirtu bi ru'b. Umar radiallahu anhu came, the enemy feared him far and wide. Forget the enemy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in his house. Umar radiallahu anhu was walking in. The women who were there, they all went away quickly. They all kept quiet. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I heard people talking. Who was talking? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, oh Umar, when you come, even the women run away. Umar radiallahu anhu got irritated. He said, Allah's Nabi is in front and you're talking and you're worried of Umar. So one of the women said that, Umar, if you had the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we wouldn't have run. You were a very hard man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. He said, oh Umar, you are such that your awe in the world is such that even if shaitan has to see you walking, he will walk on the other side of the road. The awe of Umar, the way it spread, it spreads from the heart of Rasulullah. Awe. And like that, the different things, haya, character, innaka la ala khuluqin azim, your character is most noble. That character spreads from his heart. And whoever can draw from that character today, Usman radiallahu anhu, he drew from that character, he became the most modest in the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Usman, how can I not feel shy in front of you? Even the angels are shy in front of you. But it was that modesty which was spreading from him. And anyone who can draw onto his heart today will pull that akhlaq into their own bodies. So those are all tajalliyat, and it can carry on, carry on, carry on. But all those tajalliyat, Quran mentioned one tajalli in the most beautiful manner, which was going to be a continuous tajalli. Very powerful tajalli. Very, very powerful. So powerful that when Makkah Mukarrama beat Masjid Al-Aqsa because of 40 years difference. Because of 40 years, that got 100,000 sawab, this got 1,000 sawab. And it was told that Aqsa will never equal to Makkah Mukarrama. 40 years difference. But the tajalli that started on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when did it start? It started after Nubuwa. From the beginning of creation, how many thousands and thousands of years had passed? When the tajalli started, what hope was there ever that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be able to rise? But when he always mentioned after Makkah Mukarramah comes my masjid. To show you that it was able to take over Masjid al-Aqsa, what amount of tajalliyat must be falling on his Mubarak heart. At what speeds? Forget Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my dua to Allah was that the barakat that has settled on the land of Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara must be given double that barakat. Double. Because of which you will go to Medina Munawwara, you will find a different environment in Medina. Which many people will say, the land of Medina I enjoy. So what was that tajalli which started with a force which will continue? Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah tabaraka ta'ala said, Allah and His angels have started a waterfall of what we call peace onto the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this waterfall is so strong. It has created peace in the entire world. Peace. And peace has everything in it which man wants for comfort in this world. Everything. Peace is just a word what we say. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. When Allah told the world, you all also send peace. When we send peace, we know none of us send anything. All of us say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, what we are going to send, you carry on that waterfall. When man says, Allahumma salli ala, what it is? Oh Allah, you carry on sending peace. When the angels are sending peace, what it means? They are making dua, oh Allah, carry on sending peace. This peace is one waterfall that is falling. With extreme force onto the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with that peace falling, a connection is created to the hearts of every of his ummati. Explaining that connection, he explained it in unique ways. He was in sajda, he woke up, he said, I thanked Allah. Why I thanked Allah? Explaining an effect of a waterfall, how a splash will hit you. He says, Allah revealed to me that if any person in the world who is my ummah, wherever in the world he says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. O Allah, send salah upon your Nabi. The result of that one salah will hit, Allah will send 10 upon him. When I look at that hadith, I see a waterfall. As that salah falls on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart, from the Mubarak heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see a waterfall coming. 10 times that amount and falling on the person reciting durood. He said, as you say, Allahumma salli ala, once the angel who is appointed to stand at my grave, he hears it immediately. Another one is appointed to bring it from where you are to me. When they come, they mention, oh Allah's messenger, so and so, the son of so and so has sent something to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they take his name in front of me, I reply his name and I make dua for him. Meaning the connection starts. What a connection. As it is falling there, every person in his ummah would get. For many years, I never understood this. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, rahimullah, mentioned in his Fazail al-Amal, I cannot understand, remember which place, but he mentioned that a Shaykh of recent times, in his time, recent times, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Dabbagh, who Allah opened up many mysteries in front of him. One of his statements was, between the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and every believer, I can see something running. A connection. And things are being transferred very, very fast. And then Hazrat Shaykh says, and his own words were, that he said, oh, if you don't believe me, then if you want, I will stand up, I will cut the connection. And there you will be out of the fold of Islam. I could never understand that is there can be something else, a connection. But in the light of these ahadith where that connection is mentioned, where a connection of as you send it comes back, 10 immediately fall on you, 10 ranks are lifted, 10 of your problems are removed. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anh, showing the power of this tajalliyat and the effect it has. He said, oh Allah's messenger, I have taken out certain time for Allah's ibadah. From that time I have taken out, and the narration is very authentic. He says, from the time I have taken out, how much of my time must I use only to send salah upon you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Ubay, whatever you want. It's not going to benefit me, it's going to benefit you. So he said, oh Allah's messenger, I have decided 1/4 of my time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, very good. But if you increase, it will be better for you. He said, 1/3 of my time. He said, very good, if you increase. He said, half my time. Very good, but if you increase, you're going to benefit. He ended off, he said, O Allah's Messenger, what if I use all my time only for salah upon you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, idhan tukfa hammak, wa tukfaru dhambuk. If you ever make your condition like that, then whatever problem you are going through in your life, you're supposed to go through, everything will be solved. Because when peace is hitting with that waterfall, where are you going to go through difficulty? And all your sins will get wiped out. When man goes to the land of Makkah Mukarramah, the demand of the tajalli of beauty and Allah's worship is that you must exert yourself. Because you are running for a beautiful zat. There you will find in Makkah Mukarramah, you are tired. You are making tawaf of the house of Allah. You are just going back namaz time. The crowds when they're going to the haram of Makkah Mukarramah, you'll always see with that. Very fast, meaning everyone is racing for something, very great. But as soon as man enters Medina Munawwara, suddenly he finds peace. All that tiredness just disappears. When he comes in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak house, and he stands there, he finds something settling in his heart which he can never explain. I understood this when the man was taking us now from Medina Munawwara to Jeddah. It was late at night, and he's telling me, as soon as I drop you off, I am going to go back now to Medina Munawwara. So I told him, so late, why don't you just sleep over? So he says, in my entire life in Medina Munawwara, I am a taxi driver, but not one night have I ever passed out of Medina Munawwara. So I was amazed. So I asked him, why? He said, I can't fall asleep. He said, I cannot fall asleep in any other place. He said, as soon as I enter Medina Munawwara, a certain peace covers me. He says, that peace even in Makkah Mukarramah, I cannot find it. He says, in Makkah Mukarramah, in the haram around the house of Allah, I am happy. As soon as I come out of the haram, I am very troubled with the atmosphere. Movement. As soon as I come back to Medina Munawwara, all the worries go away. It is a land of peace. So inshallah, this has taken many minutes of your time. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make it beneficial to all of us. My desire in this is, everyone is not going to remember everything what I have said. But one desire I have, as I enjoy my salah now in a different condition. And when I say Allahu Akbar, I understand that the jalliyat of Allah's beauty is falling. And between my heart and the house of Allah, a connection is created. And if I can draw from Allah's beauty, then what I can be getting around the house of Allah, I can also be pulling today towards me. And when I say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, then where normally I would just say it, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. But now when I say it, I understand the angel taking it, the other angel hearing it. I understand that the tajalliyat falling on the heart of Rasulullah. And I understand it is now splashing upon me. And it gives me a different thrill. When I look at the land of Masjid al-Aqsa, I understand it is the land of power. And I understand why everyone's eyes are on it. And when I see Gaza, I am amazed at how those people are pushing out the enemy. And I am quite content, and may Allah Pak make it a reality, that I don't think the enemy will ever manage to take over that place. And one of the best parts of this entire thing which I enjoyed is that the next salah which I read after this, after reading all this and getting this thing in my mind. And then when I finished the salah, when I was now sitting, and as I was sitting, I was thinking that a connection between me and the house of Allah is established. And what things must be coming between me. And when in my tashahud then the time came, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. And my mind immediately made that I am saying, salam to you, O Nabi. And I understood, hey, another connection is being established. And when I said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad, then it was in my mind that at one moment I am sitting, and from two Mubarak lands, things are coming and hitting my heart. And I am the most fortunate person in the whole world. Because where Allah's tajalliyat is falling, where in my mind I ever thought I will be able to pull it towards me. So if someone can live his life with this, then I can guarantee you, you will enjoy your ibadah in a manner which you have never enjoyed till today. And you will start seeing things happening around you in the world which our eyes have never seen. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala fill the qabr of Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib with great, great. Allah has given us some understanding of what the ulama of Dioban were made of. When our akabir speak, the ulama of Dioban, what they were. Hazrat Qari Sahib, they explained that he was a man who used to explain the knowledge of Mulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahimullah. Because they say Mulana Qasim Nanotwi's knowledge was too vast. And it was so difficult to understand that no one would read it. Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahimullah was a unique man of knowledge. So he wrote to his ustad,
Murana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotwi, that I tried to read Murana Qasim Nanotwi's books, and I tried, I can't understand what's written in it. His ustad, Murana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotwi, wrote to him, and he was an imam of knowledge. He says, I also tried to read it and understand, I also gave up. Murana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahimullah saying, now setting understanding what is in the seer, but we can't understand it. Many years later, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib, the grandson of Murana Qasim Nanotwi, was born. And the world called him the translator of his grandfather. Meaning what people couldn't understand, he started explaining in the world. And you can understand a translator, if this is his knowledge, then you can understand the man who started Darul Uloom Deoband, what Allah Pak had blessed him with. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala fill us also with such. May Allah Pak bless us that the tajalliyat that falls around us in the world, somehow or the other we manage to pull it towards us. May Allah Pak keep us always in His happiness. May Allah take us in His happiness. Wa akhiru da'wana. Subhanallah.